Tomorrow night, we're going to have our wedding service, if you remember. And those of you who don't have your husband or wife with you, or those of you who are not yet acquired one, you come and be the witnesses and make sure that everything is done according to oil, will you please? And it would be very good to have you be that. And we don't want to embarrass anybody who doesn't come married. But after all, don't you like to see a wedding? And who's ever seen 40 couples married at once? And who's ever had a 15, 16, and 17-year-old children watch their own parents get married? Well, it gets a little bit interesting. But we do hope it'll be meaningful to us, though, to pledge ourselves to each other and to go from here having committed ourselves in a fresh way. We did this in our church not too long ago, and it was interesting to see the reaction in the face of many of the people. Some of them thought it was, they're a little embarrassed and they wouldn't look at each other. And finally, those little eyes were looking up at that fellow, and they just got lost, you know. It was beautiful. Tonight, the filling of the Holy Spirit. About the close of the 19th century, General William Booth of the Salvation Army, a great man of God, a warrior, made this statement. The chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, heaven without hell. What a prophet he was. And really, isn't this just about what we see today? Religion without the Holy Spirit. That's the one that catches our eye. How empty. How hollow. But it need not be that way. Spiritual power, amazing resources are available to every one of us. Christians, so-called, are like a miser with thousands of dollars tucked away in the mattress, but starving to death. Let's review some of the terms concerning or that are related to the Holy Spirit. Number one, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The minute you trust Christ, the Holy Spirit enters into your life. John 7:38-39, you remember those verses that we studied about and referred to, rather? Jesus made this statement, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart, his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water." This he spake of the Holy Spirit. By believing in Jesus, coming to him for the drink of life, out of us go rivers of living water. That's pretty wonderful. Then there's the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that Spirit becomes the mark of God upon us. And we are, therefore, as it were, told by God, "You are mine, and I'm going to take you home. I'm going to get you there all the way." One of the younger Christians said to me today, I just hope I don't lose this." Well, I know what he means. When we go down from here, we don't want to lose the enthusiasm and the joy and the strength that we've gotten from here. But let's remember that God has wonderful plans for us, and we only will lose what we have if we insist on it. if we don't want to keep it. God means to really deliver you in glorious ways and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. You see, God has tremendous ideas about you. And then, not only there's the indwelling and the sealing, but there's the baptizing of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not water. God here in the Scripture tells us that we are to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, Christ told His disciples, who had already been baptized, that they would be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, turn with me. This is a new term, and I want to spend just a minute on it, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Baptism here means that by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are made members of His body. You see, there are many terms for the church. Oh, the vine, the sheep, you know. And we could say the temple, and then there are others, and there's the body of Christ. There's the body, Christ being the head. Now, the Scripture tells us that we are made members of the body of Christ, or baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, this is when you are identified because of your faith in Jesus Christ with all true believers, the church, capital C, with all those who have made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit identifies you, places you into that body of Christ, so that some of us are likened to the eye, some the hand, and some other parts of the body of Christ. Now, this means that we are identified with God's people and with God's Son. If I take a card, or if I take this brochure, which I'm so glad to get, and I put it in this Bible, and I take it down to the office, and we wrap it up, and we wrap this Bible up, and I ship it over to Pasadena, everything that happens to that brochure, or to this Bible, happens to that brochure by the fact that it's in the Bible. And if this should go over and a plane should go down, the Bible would go down, but so also would the brochure, because it's in the Bible. And when someone picks it up, remails it, and it gets to Pasadena, that Bible gets to Pasadena, but so does the brochure, because it's in the Bible. Look, God took you. You said, Lord Jesus, I need Thee. I am a sinner, and God puts you into Christ. He wraps you up and seals you, and He says, you're going home to heaven. And so you go. You see, you're identified with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the body of Christ. And frankly, everything that has happened to Jesus is accounted to you because you are in Christ. You are dead with Christ. You are alive with Christ. You are risen with Christ. You're at the right hand of God with Christ. Because all He has done has been placed to your account. But we don't want to get into that. Well, that's another subject. Now look, let's look at our verse again. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. You see, God has taken you. He has plunged you into Christ. Now, it isn't dipping. It's plunging you into Christ once and forever. You are into Christ, never to come up again. You are as if you are placed in a house, and God puts you in that house, and you spend whole life in that house, in this castle. Let's put it this way, this great fortress. God puts you here, you spend your whole life here, ever in with the luxurious supply of God's house, God's hope. And this is what it means to be identified, placed into the body of Jesus Christ. It means that you are identified, thrust under into Christ once and forever. That's what it means to be baptized in the body of Christ. Now someone comes up to me, as they did not too long ago, a few months ago, said, Pastor, I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. You should be baptized by the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. I've had great thrill in being baptized by the Holy Spirit. I'm beginning to speak in tongues, and I noticed that I have some healing powers. You should be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And I said to this person, look, I can't form my theology by your experience. My Bible says that when I was born again, I was baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Oh, but Pastor, you're just talking about, you're getting picky-unish about words, aren't you? Yes, I am. I don't think it's fair to take a term of Scripture, and I don't think it's fair to use it in an unscriptural way. No matter what happened to that person, the Bible tells me that when I was born again, I was placed into the body of Christ. I was immersed into Christ. I was identified with Christ. I was placed in, and I would never come out again. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. Thank God. Because if it were left to me, I'd be in and out all the time. Now, you accept Christ, you're made alive. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Sealed once and for all. You're baptized into the body once for all. Now the Bible tells me, the Bible never tells me, now Ortland or Christians, get indwelt, or unsaved, get indwelt. It never says, now you be sealed. It never says, now you get baptized with the Holy Spirit. It never says that. You see, that happens to me automatically when I accept Christ and I don't even know about it. God just says, I apply that to your account. You are this. God tells us that we are made righteous. We are made these things by the grace of God. God declares it so. And we need to take it by faith. Now look, there's one other thing though. When it comes to the term being filled with the Holy Spirit, this is the command of God. This is one place where we step out of the positional work of God for us into an actual choice on our part. It is a possibility that all of us may have, but it is not done automatically for us. We are ordered to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This brings us into a new area of study then about the Holy Spirit. Now I hope I've been clear. And you may say, I don't agree with you. And as I said before, you'd be wrong. Go ahead. That's all right. I want to be teachable here. And I don't want to offend anyone who may feel that you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. I would say, remember what the book of Acts says, 17:11, that you go home and study the Scriptures whether these things be so. And don't you take what I say, but you go to the Word of God and you see if Ray Ortland's right or not. And if he's not right, you junk his ideas. Pronto. All right, now let's talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. We are commanded, number one, to be filled with the Holy Spirit continuously. Two words I want to mention. We are commanded, and we are commanded to be filled continuously. Now notice, it is a command of Scripture. Turn with me to Ephesians 5 that you know so well. 5 and verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, notice this. That word, be filled, that's the command. It is a command. It is in that sense that we are ordered to be filled. Now, God would never ask of you what he is not able to permit you to experience by his grace. Remember that. God says to every one of us tonight, and he goes down the row here tonight, and he says, now I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The normal Christian life, it seems to me, according to the Scripture, is that in which one is full of the Holy Spirit. It's just as much a command as be not drunk. Be ye filled. Would you go out and get drunk tonight? Oh, no, you say. Well, will you be filled? You must say, oh, yes. You see? You see, it's a sin not to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's so devastating to be useless, to be less than what God would have you be by his grace. It is so hard on the unsaved. They never hear. It is so hard on the believers. They are always thwarted. They are always hurt by you. You are not there to be the encouragement. You're a lag. You're a drag on the people of God. You see, it's a terrible thing not to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me say this. I think Bill Bright said something like this. It's just as sinful for you not to be filled with the Holy Spirit as it is for you to live with another man's wife. Why? Because it has such eternal, spiritual, devastating results. Now we're commanded to be filled. We are commanded to be continuously filled. Notice that second point there. Continuously. For this verse says to us here, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit. The thought here is keep on being filled. Present tense. It's a continuous action. Literally, you must be kept on being filled with the Holy Spirit then. Now the disciples were filled again and again, and so must you be. Now let's turn to Acts. I'm sure you've done this before, but let's do it again just because we know that tonight there are many of us who need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. Tonight, in this hour, right now, Glen Eyrie. God the Spirit, God the great Spirit of God is going to fill some of you here tonight because you want him to. Maybe you wonder what's going to happen. Well, now, just a minute. Don't you get excited. I mean, you can if you want to get excited, but what I mean is you don't need to. I mean, you can be what you want to be. Let's go on. Chapter 2 and verse 4. Now remember, here the church begins, and at the beginning of the church, when these were placed into the body of Christ, the Bible says, then they were baptized by the Holy Spirit, they were filled and baptized and put into the body of Christ. Now look what it says. Then they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now look, they were filled. I want you to notice that. Secondly, turn to chapter 4 and verse 8. Now the same one here, Peter, among those that were filled, Peter then, it says, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, why does it mention filled with the Holy Ghost again? Well, the simple reason is that he was filled with the Holy Ghost again. It wouldn't have mentioned it if Peter had not had a new commitment to God where he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, and so on. And he preaches and gives a wonderful witness. Verse 31 of the same chapter. Now look, here they are. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they bespake the word of God with boldness. And chapter 6 and verse 3. Here are the deacons being chosen. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over business. Now look, over this business. Turn down to verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now turn over to chapter 7. And there, look at verse 55. Here's Stephen again. He chose a man who was full of the Holy Ghost. Now we see again that he is one full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now notice in verse 55. And he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost. Now why? Because he was continually kept filled and filled and filled. Now, the new birth is never repeated. Your sealing by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ is never repeated. The being baptized into the body of Christ need never be repeated. But you are filled again and again and again and again. As we were speaking last night, that sanctification is the continuous action, and there are many crises in our lives to which God brings us face to face with issues where we break our own wills, we come into the grasp of the things of God, and we face this issue, and then we go along a while, and we face a new issue, and God must get to us again, you see. Now, he's doing that to you this week. Some of you are coming face to face with something that you've got to make a decision about, and there's going to be a new growth, a new step, a new filling of the Holy Spirit. You see, you're filled again and again. Now, the reason that you are commanded to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit, this is very, very reasonable, it seems to me. Because we Christians get drained. Remember the Lord Jesus, it was said of him, that virtue went out of him. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel exhausted spiritually? You've given everything you know how to give. Sometimes on a Sunday night, I tell Ann, I say, you know, I don't have another thing to say. Now, that's saying something for me. But that's true. I don't have another thing to say. I have said everything I know and more. And I have to admit to her, I don't have another thing to say. But God is so gracious. We're exhausted. And he comes along, and we rush to him. I remember one Sunday night, I'll never forget it. I climbed into that bed, and I was so exhausted. I had said everything that there was in that book, I was sure. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't go back to that church again. I have declared my soul. I don't have anything more to deliver. And you know, God brought me the book of Isaiah. He says, I will give thee the hidden riches of secret places and break in sunder the gates of brass and the bars of iron and so on. Man, I've gone back to that verse time and time again on a Sunday night, and I said, Lord, you said this, and I need this now. Why? Exhausted. I'd had it. That's one reason you must be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. The second reason is that we grieve him by our sin. And sometimes this sin is so subtle that we hardly know what's going on. You remember those verses I've already directed you to in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now, how do you do this? Grieving, quenching, thwarting the Holy Spirit of God as we were speaking. How do you do it? By bitterness, as verse 31 says, and wrath and anger and clamor. You know, here I was going to speak on the filling of the Holy Spirit tonight. And we had a little time in our room. Now, I tell you this just to show you how stupidly human I am. I completely misunderstood Margie. You know, Ann had a few words for me. And she said, you misunderstood her. And I covered it up, and I said, I was just speaking my mind. I think I was just saying the truth, you know. And, you know, you can only cover it up. And then you go to preaching about the filling of the Holy Spirit and yieldedness to Christ. And I said, boy, that Beelzebub, he's on my back again. And sure enough, you know, the thing I had to do to Margie is say, Margie, I'm sorry. I had no right to do that. And I want you to forgive me. And go to the Lord about it. Because, you see, when you go forth to do battle for the Lord, the devil can easily get you where you feel you're the strongest. And bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. These stupid things, do they get at you? Man. And then on top of those, oftentimes we say, well, those are sins of disposition and I got them from my grandfather. Grandfather, my eye, you developed them all yourself. And you've been cultivating. And you know what they are? They're not just unfortunate traits of character. They are sin. They are the kind of sins that develop into terrible twisting of character. They are the kind of sins that strip Christians from any kind of power with God. They are the sins that make him Lord. And grieve him. And then on top of those are the sins of ignorance that we don't even know about. Well, we're so stupid, we don't even know when we hinder God. And you know, in the Old Testament, there was the offering for the sins of ignorance. Why? Because there were sins of ignorance. That's why. Very simple. Sins that we don't even know we commit. There they are. You hear the story about Ozek? They were having revival meeting. Each year they had them. Had them in the fall, had them in the spring. Zeke came forward. Zeke prayed, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Prayed, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. The next time came around, he had revival meetings. Zeke came forward, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And he did, and finally he come forward, I guess together. 3 years had gone by, and finally one wise old deacon says, Lord, fill him with the Holy Spirit. Zeke leaks. You sense that you leak? Oh, I do. I know how Zeke feels. You bet your life. You see, there was a time when you were on fire for Christ. All the bloom of the youth of your Christian life was there. It was such a joy. It was such a thrill. There was a sense of excitement and freshness and power, and you went out and witnessed, and people heard you and received you, and it was great. And then you began to get professional about it all. In the old terms could flow off your tongue and you could rattle off a testimony and zip off a prayer in front of everybody and they all said, isn't he great? Or isn't she marvelous? And you know, you noticed something had happened. There wasn't the thrill. There wasn't the life. There wasn't the power. Now some say, well, now, you know, you get mellow as you get older. That's true. I think we should. But we shouldn't get less on fire for God as we get older. Why should we? Why shouldn't it always be great? Why should it ever be old hat to know Jesus Christ? Why should it ever be boring to live for the Son of God who loved us, who has come to us by His Holy Spirit and fills us? That never need be boring. And obviously, what has happened? You've leaked. You are not filled with the Holy Spirit. I know when that's happened to me. And God then must come and touch your life again. Now there's another reason why you must be filled continuously. You're commanded to be so. And the third is that God enlarges you. And I think this is the most encouraging thing. And I know it's what's going on this week. It's what goes on with me when I'm willing to admit to my children or to my wife or to someone else that I'm a sinner. God begins to enlarge me too. Or he puts me in a place where I'm stretched. I'm way out over my head. I have no business being there. I said to one of the men, tell me, do you ever feel like a babe in the woods in your business? And he said, boy, do I. And I said, do I? Why? God sees that we get out way over our heads so that we become bigger people. Listen to what happened in the scripture. Look, the capacity increases for more of God when he stretches you. Look what happens. Psalm 4:1, what does that say? Thou hast enlarged the place of my heart, or thou hast enlarged my heart in affliction. And when you go through trouble, God is making a bigger man out of you. And when then the scripture also tells us to enlarge the place of our tent. God wants you to stretch out. Now look, God wants you to get some vision. Lauren Senny, I think, is speaking to that on that tomorrow. How we need it for our own lives. And then remember how Solomon prayed for wisdom when he took over the throne. And the scripture says that God gave him wisdom. And then God added in a wonderful extra because of Solomon's sincerity. And God gave largeness of heart. Now God has a way of enlarging so that you have a greater capacity for the Lord than you ever have had before. You see, God makes you what you are not, and that's what he's doing to us this week. He's doing it to me through you and your testimony. And he's doing it through one another, the Word of God, ministering through these folks at Glen Eyrie here and helping us. You see, there's a growth also then in your surrender. You remember what Paul said? Paul said, I am the least of the saints. Or no, I am the least of the saints, right? And then he said he was the least of the apostles. And then he came to place later on where he said, I am chief of sinners. Because Paul had gotten more and more out of the way. That John, as John says, that he might increase and I might decrease. So that there's always the greater capacity for the fullness of the Spirit in your life. You never get to the place where you do not need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Again and again and again. Alan Redpath tells a beautiful story. I don't know if he has ever told that here or if you've heard it. But he tells about the British woman who had a Roman Catholic neighbor. And the Monday mornings they'd be hanging out their wash, naturally. And they'd talk over the fence to one another. And the Roman Catholic lady got very interested in this British woman and her church. And she says to her, tell me, did you have a good meeting yesterday? And the British woman says, wonderful, wonderful meeting. They met in a home. There were 35 there and the house was full. And she said, marvelous. And then she said the next Monday, well, how was the meeting yesterday? Wonderful. 45 there and the house was full. Oh. And the next Monday, hon, how was the meeting? Oh, she said, marvelous. 55 there and the house was full. 35, 45, 55. The house was full. Wait a minute now. What do you mean? Oh, she says, it's very simple. Each week we just take out more furniture. You see, and this is what God's doing in you. And this is what the fullness of the Spirit means now, that you're going to take out some furniture and you don't know that some other of that stuff has to go too yet. I said, God is so kind, he doesn't clobber you all at once. And there's got to be more go, and then more go, and more go, and the house is full, and the heart is full, and the life is full. Full, 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 fuller. All the time. It's like having a barrel of watermelon. It's full. And then you add in apples, and it's full. And then you add in sugar, and it's full. God keeps filling and filling and filling, and you didn't know he could get more in. Finally you say, Lord, stop it! It's too good. Now look. Just this. How are you to be filled with the Spirit? Look at our verse. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now let's look at this. The drunk man is controlled by alcohol, isn't he? By liquor. And when he's controlled by liquor, he's a different man. For instance, some little old Casper milk toast goes into the bar that night. All day long, the boss has been beating him and beating him. And he's been working away and working away. And he says, yes, boss, yes, boss. And when he goes into the bar that night, he begins to down some. Wham, 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 you know. And he really takes it in. And he suddenly begins to shout around the bar. All right, you guys, be quiet. And then he begins to tell this big bruiser, sit down, boy. And then he looks over at the other people. You people, quiet. And he orders the whole place around. Why, before he got drunk, he was a Casper milquetoast. What happened? He was changed by alcohol. Or there's that mousy little fellow, you know, that would never say anything, always so quiet. But give him a couple under the belt, and he sings, and he says, oh, join in, and leads everybody in song. Why? Well, he is full. Now, the Apostle Paul is so practical in his illustrations. Interesting. Be not drunk with wine, controlled by wine. That's a stupid thing to be, controlled by wine. But be controlled by the Holy Spirit, he says. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Alcohol will transform you for a while, but the Lord Jesus Christ will transform you deeply and utterly and for good. Look, be filled, controlled, overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit-controlled man is a new man. I like what the brochure says. A new you under new management. That's great. You see, the Spirit's job is to make you like Jesus Christ. Listen, that's what he's doing in your life this week. And that's what he's going to continue to do. Don't you worry about going away from the glen. Jesus Christ, he's out there too. And he goes with you, and the Spirit of God goes to bless you and to work in you. Man, you've got exciting things ahead. Don't get frightened at this point. God's going to work in us all. The tenderness of Jesus Christ begins to seem in us, and the boldness of Jesus Christ, and the love of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're filled. Now, there are two words for filled. I want you to notice this. There's the word for filled in the Greek that has to do with filling a glass of water, for instance, filled with water. Then there's the word for filled that has to do with filling a sail billowing out on a boat. Now, the sail isn't really filled until that boat is moving. Not really. And you see, the Holy Spirit comes to fill you, to move you. He comes to set you in a new course. He comes to fill you, to give you a new type of life, a new walk, a new talk, a new way of acting. I imagine that there are some of you who say, boy, there is no freshness in my life these days. I'm dry. I need something new. God knows this. I know this. I need a filling of the Holy Spirit so I get pushed on. So I get thrust forward and thrust out in a way that I haven't before. I hope you'll all be praying now, because I sense that it's hard going. It's either me or something. But I believe that the devil would love to really win us out here. But let's not let him. Now, our part in being filled. Number one, sin must be acknowledged. The Holy Spirit will not fill where there is unconfessed and known sin. Now look, how does that affect you and affect you? You hear the story about the boy who had his hand in one of Mother's very loveliest vases, and Father tried to pull it out and pull it out. He says, now look, boy, you just put your hand real straight and make it as thin as possible, and we'll pull it out. He says, Dad, I don't want to let loose of that penny. And you know, God wants to release you. And you're in a bind. And you're really caught. And you know, that's a stupid penny you're holding on to. It's dirty. It's worthless. And it won't do you any good. Now you just let go. And God will free you. There will be freedom if you let go. What does Psalm 51 say? The psalmist prays there about this whole thing of sin in our life. And he says this, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Verse 10 then says, "Create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me." Now look, I think we need to be honest with the Lord Jesus and tell him our defeats and tell him our failures and tell him that we're weak and tell him that we know that we've fallen and we know we've come to him with this sin. Because unless there's a brokenness about what we are not and what we are, there can be no filling. No brokenness, no filling. That can be easily seen. Look at verse 17 of Psalm 51. It says this, "The sacrifices of God, the ones that he loves, are the broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." Half-filled, half-saved, half-hearted men cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit. God cannot trust the fullness of the Spirit unless we are yielded completely to him, unless we are controlled, not by wine, but by Christ and by the Holy Spirit, unless we are really set upon by the Holy Spirit, unless we are Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, Spirit-conquered men and women, then God can fill us. Unless we say, "Lord, I'm yours." Old Sam Jones one day was preaching, and he'd gotten through with his great group of meetings, and when he was through, someone gave him a carload of Broncos. I can't imagine that. But they did. And so he sold everything but one of them. And he kept one of them for him, his boy. And he got a cowboy to come and to break the one. He says, "How much will it cost?" He said, "Will you break him so my boy can ride him?" "Yes, sir." And he said, $15. And so he brought him back in a little while and he was broken. He says, "Well, can my boy ride him?" "Yes, sir." Now he said, "What side the boy get on?" He says, "He gets on the right side." "What if he should get on the left side?" "Oh, don't you touch that Bronco on the left side. Don't you try that." He said, "Now look, I know my boy. Break him on both sides. How much will it cost?" Sends him back $15 more. He comes back and finally he says, "Now is he broken on both sides?" "Oh, he's broken on both sides. You have no fear. Whatever side you get on this horse." Now look. A wild bronco, strong, sturdy, full of life and whim and vigor and vitality, as they say, but never yielded and never broken, is of no value. And you can have all kinds of talents. And we have a conference here of people that are loaded with abilities, of people who have really got, are really sharp and keen. But you can be all that, but if you're not broken by God, he cannot use you. You're dangerous. Romans 12, what does it say? 1, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's it. I don't know of any other way. I don't think you need to enter into some preliminary actions to be filled with the Spirit except to confess your sins and come before God and wait upon him. Present yourself as you are, lock, stock, and barrel, and come to God with everything. I think when God says be filled with the Holy Spirit, he means exactly that, and he wouldn't ask you to be filled with the Holy Spirit if he were not going to give you the grace to receive the fullness of the Spirit. Now that's the truth. God doesn't hold back. When you say, "I present," you say, "Lord, I'm not going to steal from you anymore either and take back what I presented." There were times you come to a conference like this or you've been in a situation, you said, "Lord, there it is. It's on the line. I'm not going to do anything but what you tell me to do." And then you stole it. And you took what was God's, haven't you? Now God wants you to give it back. Complete surrender. He fills what you yield. It isn't that you get any more of the Holy Spirit because you can't have part of a person, but he gets more of you. That's just simply true. Now look, tonight, you're filled with something. You're filled with self, or you can be filled with bitterness. There's possibly one or two of you here tonight that every time you get next to the Lord or you start to do something, someone comes up in your mind. Maybe it's mother or father. Or maybe it's the boss. And do you get bitter? You chew him over again. You are filled with hatred and bitterness. Now, God cannot fill you with the Holy Spirit unless you say, Lord, I'm going to love that person by your grace. Give me love. And I repent of that sin. I turn from that sin. I have no right to hate that man or to be bitter. I have only right to respect him because he is thy property, because you made him. I don't like his sin, but I nevertheless now turn from bitterness. You see, God can do something with you then. You can preach, and I know I can preach and not be filled with the Spirit. I can memorize Scripture, so can you, and be just as hard-hearted toward God and people as can be. You can know the Bible from cover to cover and still not be filled with the Holy Spirit and just have be filled with the facts of the Scripture, but not be yielded deep down in your soul to God. You can study the Bible and not be filled with the Spirit. Now, these are all absolutely important things, but you see, you can be ugly and unloving and contentious and vulgar, and you, of course, are not filled with the Spirit. Now, you can be filled now, too, right now. You know, as people are converted in different places, I believe they're filled with the Spirit in different places and in different ways. Why, Moody was filled with the Spirit in a big city walking down the street. God changed his life. Remember Israel? They came to the place where they could have entered into the promised land. They said, oh, no, I can't do that. And some of you are saying, well, you've said in your life, oh, I have. You know, if I yield to God, I'm afraid, oh, he's going to be a hard master. I can't afford it right now. I think of all my ambitions, and I'm afraid what God's going to do to me. Oh, that's an insult to God, isn't it? Who loved us and gave his son. Suppose your son came up to you and said, Mother or Daddy, I'm here. I want you to know I want to do everything you want me to do. I just love you so much, I want to do whatever you say. Okay, boy, get into that closet. Wow! You ever do that? No, sir. You grab that little youngster in your arm and you say, you come here. I love you. And I love you more now. What can I do for you? And you come to God tonight and you say, Lord, I'm yours 100%. I don't know one area that I'm leaving out tonight. I turn my wife, my husband, my family, my children. I want to be Jesus Christ to them. I want to be in Christ to them. I want to be walking in the Spirit with them. My job, Lord, I'm going to witness for Christ. I'm going to be God's man there. I don't care if I lose that job. And when I go back to my church, I'm going to seek to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to be God's man, God's woman. They may not understand me. They may think I'm holier than thou, but that's all right. When I live my life, Lord, as I go out of this room tonight, I'm going out yielded, surrendered, controlled under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Israel wondered for 40 years when they could have gone in. Now look. One morning they were in the wilderness, wandering around, unfulfilled, unhappy. And that night, they were in the promised land. Home. Praise the Lord. Home. One moment, you can be in the wilderness, and by absolute dedication, surrender, control, you can be in the Spirit and filled by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you'll get a feeling or not. I don't think that's too important. But the point is, you cross over. Now, we've come to Glen Eyrie and we've come a long way. And you know what the Israelites said? Why go up to Jerusalem? and not see the King's face. Now look, my friend, why you come here and not be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now let us pray.